As of today, Democrats back in control up in Lansing in the Michigan House after Democrats prevailed in two special elections yesterday. Meantime, in the U.S. House, where Republicans hold the narrowest of majorities, all kinds of dysfunction on display as momentum seems to build to oust Speaker Mike Johnson. In fact, Representative Tom Massey of Kentucky went so far as to demand his resignation yesterday in a closed-door meeting. This was the Speaker's response.
It is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion. We are simply here trying to do our job.
It is putting aid to Israel, aid to Ukraine in jeopardy at a perilous time. It's also causing a lot of chaos, and there is some downstream political repercussions on that. John James, representative out of Shelby Township, a Republican, joining us live this morning. Congressman James, it's always good to have you.
Well, pleasure's all mine. Thanks for having me on.
Just give me a sense of what you're hearing and sensing on Capitol Hill. Is I know folks like you in tight districts are trying to move forward with your own reelection. You're trying to do the people's business, and you've got this sideshow going on.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a sideshow. We are trying to do the people's business, and we were making up a lot of steam, moving. We got H.R. 2 passed. That's the Securing Our Borders Act last spring, and Chuck Schumer hasn't taken it up. And rather than focusing on things that matter to the American people, things that matter to the folks in Southeast Michigan, we're dealing with personalities here. We have to secure our borders. We have to do things to lower inflation, and we have to get this international chaos under control. And we're not going to do it with people who are more concerned with their own political fundraising and popularity than doing the right thing for the American people.
Congressman, the former president, we know he has a lot on his plate right now, but he commented on the situation. He expressed some uncertainty. How do you interpret his remarks, and do you anticipate his involvement in influencing what goes on, what's going forward with this Ukraine and Israel package?
Actually, I haven't seen the former president's remarks, but I am disappointed that this is such a contentious issue. There should be no daylight between the United States and Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East. And they are under attack from an evil enemy, the regime in Iran. The Iranian people are good people that are held hostage by their own rulers, and they are the leading state sponsor of terror. I've been in combat. I fought in Iraq, Operation Iraqi Freedom, 0709, and the sectarian violence was stoked by Tehran. These militias, these fighters were trained by Iran, and you still see their destabilizing force throughout the region with the Houthis, with Hezbollah, and with Hamas that killed more Jews in one day than on October 7th than any day since the Holocaust. The Biden administration must hold Hamas accountable, but it seems like they're more concentrating on beating up Israel.
Sir, what is your view on funding for Ukraine? They also are under attack from an evil dictator person and Putin. What are your thoughts there, and especially if Mike Johnson brings these separate bills up?
Yeah, Jamie, when we grew up in the 80s, I remember a lot of things being different. That was back in the time when most Americans were united behind pushing back against the communists and understanding that Russia could never move into Europe. And now you're starting to see folks get a little bit weak in the knees. Under no circumstances can we see T-72s, Russian tanks, roll through Kiev in victory. That will be the end of United States influence around the world, which would be a clear and present danger to Americans both home and abroad. We must support Ukraine, but our president also owes, our commander-in-chief also owes the United States citizens a mission, an end state with objectives. That's what I would brief my lieutenants before we went on any mission. And this is the commander-in-chief. He owes the American people accountability and transparency for how this mission is being prosecuted. Mm-hmm. And so we also need to secure our borders. Our border is something that needs to be done, and we need to do it all at the same time. This is not either or, this is and both. This is America, and we can do both.
John James, we keep trying to sanction Iran. I mean, you would have think that we would have used every club in the bag by now, but we haven't apparently. And the problem is that China keeps buying oil from Iran. We could do something about that. The House has passed a bill that would sanction Chinese banks for financing those purchases. But there's a big question about whether Joe Biden is going to sign it and take it up because he doesn't want to see gas prices go up before the election. Is that a dereliction of duty? And what more do we need to do to sanction Iran?
Joe Biden is complicit in the fall of America. He's not fit to be commander-in-chief just through his actions. And this isn't political hyperbole. It's fact. You can go back back in 2006, UN Security Council imposed permanent sanctions on Iran's drones and missiles, which in 2015, the Obama-Biden administration agreed to let UN drone missile sanctions on Iran expire last year in October 2023.
But John, I know this. I'm willing to pay more for gasoline if it means that our forces in the Middle East aren't facing Iranian drones from the Houthis, right?
Of course. And most people understand that we have to hold Iran accountable for its actions. Please believe that when they say death to America, they're not lying, they're not fibbing, and they're not playing. And now, as close as Dearborn, you're hearing the same chants. I was taught a long, long time ago, when your enemy makes a promise, you better believe them. And right now, Joe Biden is all but underwriting the spread of terrorism and the proliferation of nuclear arms, not just in the Middle East, but around the world. And with our open borders, you better believe that America is vulnerable, too. We must enforce the sanctions that are already in place, and Congress is continuing to pass sanctions. I got one through yesterday. So it doesn't do any good if our executive operates in bad faith and is more concerned with keeping his power than protecting the people.
Right. We should point that bill passed in the House. I mean, this very divided House, 383 to 11.
What about FISA? Doesn't that protect the country in terms of preventing terrorist attacks?
Absolutely. I voted to reform FISA and also respect our Bill of Rights and Constitutions. I've looked at private briefings and confidential briefings, and it's a scary world out there, Jamie. And you have our law enforcement officers, NSA, CIA doing yeoman's work to keep Americans safe at home. There are some things that would keep you up at night. So I'm so proud of our law enforcement officers keeping us safe from those who would hurt and kill us.
John James, always a pleasure to connect with you. We know it could be a tumultuous end of the week on Capitol Hill, and hopefully cooler heads will prevail so we can get the people's business done, which is, I know, what you want to do.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care. John James, Republican of Shelby Township. Make no mistake, and the three of us were talking about this. These demagogues, these far-right folks, are in safe districts. Mm-hmm. And you're putting the Republican majority in jeopardy mm-hmm. in the U.S. House by doing what you're doing because you're making it harder for guys like John James to get reelected.
Absolutely. In a tight district
and they
very tight.
And they don't care. You know, as long as they can fundraise off of it, mm-hmm. they don't care. When we come back, we got something special for you. Annie Tickets, that wonderful musical playing at Detroit's Fox Theater beginning May 3rd. We will have them for you, not tomorrow, but today, just on the other side of this break.